This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Royal Blue Podcast. It is the Evertonian show with me, Ian Kroll. I'm back and yeah, can you believe it? They've let me return for a second episode to talk all things Everton. So get in touch with me on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. My handle is at IanKroll1. Leave me a comment, give me a follow, give me a feedback, positive or negative. It is always appreciated. I actually did receive some feedback from the first episode and apparently I overused the phrase, you know, so I think that's the first time I've said it in this podcast and hopefully it's going to be the last. So it's something that I'm obviously, well, something that has been brought to my attention and something that I'm obviously going to have to work on when talking on these podcasts. I'll try my best but I can't promise anything. Okay, well, what am I going to talk about today? Well, Everton haven't got a game now until the 30th of March, end of the month. It'll be a 3-week period until we last played, and that will be against Bournemouth, who funnily enough, as I'm sure you know, picked up a mammoth win against Luton this week. Not sure who it was more important for, Everton or Bournemouth, but either way, a 4-3 win for them and a defeat for Luton, you know, keeps Luton at arm's length from Everton, which was obviously, you know, a really good result for Everton. So I'm going to talk a bit about that. But first, I want to talk about the United defeat. I know, you know, it was a couple of days ago and don't want to look back on negative things, but the manner of the defeat, I want to look at the manner of the defeat and exactly where it leaves us going forward. I also want to talk about the full-back situation and why Dyche, I just think, is crippling any attacking threat we have. First off, you know, not using the correct players in the correct positions, but also the fact it's clear that the players who are playing fullback are being told not to advance too far forward. I also want to touch on Triple Seven and whether the Premier League will sanction the takeover. And finally, the last segment, I'll reveal one thing that annoyed me this past week and one thing that made me smile. We'll start off with United defeat then. 2-0 at Old Trafford, leaving us one game off matching Everton's longest ever winless streak. An unwanted record, you know, for Sean Dyche. I'm sure he doesn't want that, you know, the fans don't want that, but it's an existing record that dates back to 1994 under Mike Walker and is a run of 12 winless matches. And obviously we know what happened with Mike Walker there. He got the sack. You know, obviously a little bit of a different situation. We know he was sacked and then Joe Royal came in and the rest is history. I'm not suggesting any way, shape or form anything like that is going to happen. But, you know, if this winless run carries on, Sean Dyche will no doubt be under pressure. A lot of, you know, obviously a lot of mitigating factors at play. But either way, it's not a good look. We're currently at 11 games without a win and it's just something that needs addressing. And, you know, we're not going to be able to do that now for a couple of weeks, but that's starting off with Bournemouth. In all honesty, can you see us picking up a win at Bournemouth? You know, Bournemouth, like, absolutely, their managers just steadied the ship. They actually look like a good unit. Okay, they conceded 3 goals against Luton last night, but in the end, you know, they showed the will, desire to come back and win 4-3, obviously for the benefit of Everton. Okay, just looking at that Bournemouth game, our away form is slightly better than our home form. But to answer the question, will we pick up anything against Bournemouth? For me, it's a no. I actually can't see us picking up a win until April the 6th when we play Burnley at home. A match, you know, which without a doubt is a must win. I know we've got Newcastle in between, but I can't see us getting anything from Bournemouth or Newcastle. You know, we might pick up the odd points. I know Newcastle aren't even in the best form, but going to St James's Park, I feel like the past couple of years we've struggled a little bit. So we'll see what happens with that. But back to the United defeat then, and let's face it wasn't a game anyone expected us to win. I don't think any Everton fan expected us to win. I certainly didn't. And so much so, you know, if you listen back to the United preview podcast on the Royal Blue channel, you'll see that I actually predicted a 2-0 loss. So something which I take absolutely no pleasure whatsoever, and I didn't even put a bet on it, so I can take no pleasure whatsoever at all. You know, the actual defeat wasn't something that annoyed me. I mean, of course, any defeat is disappointing, but did we really expect to win, even with the predicament United found themselves in? You know, obviously Ten Hag was under pressure, but they're terrible themselves, let's face it. And we don't win at Old Trafford. We're lucky if we manage a draw. So losing didn't bother me to an extent. Obviously, you want to win, but again, I expected it. It was more the manner of the defeat and the way we lost. You know, starting the game off well, creating chances, decent opportunities, not letting United get into any rhythm. All things that obviously sound familiar and pretty much the story of our season under Dyche. But then to concede two penalties, I honestly find it incredible how Everton managed to find new and novel ways to lose football matches. It's just insane. Absolutely no complaints over the penalty decision, by the way. Stonewall penalties. I saw a few complaints from people on the first one that Garnacho was looking for it and he left his leg in there. But don't be brain dead then. It was a brain dead attempt to win the ball from Tarkowski, and you could see in his reaction straight away, very little protest, just, you know, acceptance of what he'd done. And the second one, even clearer for me, we just let Garnacho run through the middle with the ball. I've got no idea what Onana is doing. He just pirouettes past Garnacho like a ballerina with absolutely no attempt to win the ball, and it's just left to Godfrey, who makes an absolute mess of it. So it's a penalty all day. They're both penalties all day. Everton lose 2-0. Same old story, same old Dyche, same old Everton. Disappointing. But why does he think playing a centre-back as a right-back is a good idea when he's actually got two actual right-backs at his disposal? It's just insane. It's square pegs in round holes. I don't see any benefit from it. It's a manager who is either being stubborn because it may have worked once or for like 45 minutes of a second half or something, or a manager, he just doesn't know what he's doing. Let's face it, if Dyche could back up his arguments and say, well, we wanted a bit more of a defensive unit in Godfrey at right back and it was producing results, then you can say, yeah, fine, sounds, but it's not producing results, it's not working. It's now actually hindering any attacking threat we've got going forward, and we're conceding goals because of it. It's actually pointless me saying this because Everton are now in this massive gaping black hole of no fixtures until like the 30th, like the end of the month. So me saying, well, get Coleman in the team or get Patterson in the team, well, there's over 2 weeks until our next game. You know, a lot can happen, you know, players can get injured. But I tell you, the goodwill toward Dyche will quickly evaporate, quickly disappear if all the players are fit heading into that Bournemouth game. And he picks Ben Godfrey as right back again. And that also goes for Ashley Young. We've got two, you know, specialists, if you want to call it, right backs that are fit and available in Nathan Patterson and Seamus Coleman. I think we know Seamus Coleman probably can't play a full 90 minutes, but he could probably do a job for an extent of time. Just get Patterson in there. I know he seems to be unsure about his defensive attributes, but the only way he's going to learn is by playing, getting the experience, but he clearly offers more of an attacking threat than Ashley Young or Ben Godfrey.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
The one area in modern day football which has become so important to any team's attacking threat is the fullbacks, and we've got nothing from either side. One, because the manager can't get his head around playing a right back at right back, and two, for all the positives Mikhailenko brings to the team from a defensive standpoint, he brings absolutely nothing going forward. I do think, you know, Dyche is partly down to it and it's his instructions, but in my opinion it's also because Mikhailenko was limited in what he can do and he just lacks quality. It's a criticism some may find unfair, but I honestly think it's true. He's just genuinely, you know, not great going forward, and he's obviously come in as a left fullback and done well. He's been solid, but the modern day fullback needs to be more than just a defensive minded player. But let's face it, that's why he's in the team as well, because Dyche knows that he can do a job defensively, and I think that's back to basics. That's fine, but when you're conceding goals with your back to basics, it's not a good look. I know it's a different time, different era, different quality of player entirely, but just look at Leighton Baines and Seamus Coleman in the primes, two quality fullbacks, and the difference in how they played the game to how our current fullbacks play the game, it's just night and day. So yeah, you know, 11 games without a win, no league win at all in 2024. I just realised I've probably said, you know, like at least two or three times. So can see that the tweets coming in now, the feedback, the negative feedback, but I will continue to strive not to say, you know. Anyway, back to it. I think hopefully, and I'm really hoping that this 3 week break is a blessing in disguise. You know, we've seen that, just said, you know, again, see, I'm conscious of it now. The squads are away in Portugal in a training camp, and I know it's a cliche, but you'd have to try and look for the positives. Hopefully Dyche gives the players sufficient rest and treats this period off as a mini break. I honestly think this period could be the making or breaking of Dyche. You know, can he find the solutions to turn things around? Can he work with the players he already has at his disposal? Can he improve what he's already got? Can he prove everyone wrong and show that he is actually a good coach? He hasn't got the pressures of, you know, weekly Premier League matches, of having to win over the next, what's, you know, going to be a 3 week period. You know, the demands of playing week after week. So if he gets this period right, hopefully you'll see a different Everton. And let's face it, a different Everton is what we need, because the one I'm watching now is not what I or any Everton fan who pays their hard earned money wants to go and watch. Moving on then, I just wanted to touch on 777 and why there obviously, you know, just too many doubts being raised over their capabilities to run Everton. Let's face it, they've got a long list of accusations and scathing reports against them. We've got claims ranging from like credit rating being lowered to allegations that it's missed several payments to lenders, and now there's even links to a Russian oligarch. It's just insane. But I honestly think the Premier League, you know, don't want to sanction this takeover based on the uncertainty around 777 and exactly what they're going to bring to the table. It was obviously a positive move that both parties met face-to-face last week. We've got no idea what came out of the meeting. We didn't expect an outcome from that meeting, and we've still got no idea what the outcome is going to look like, but I'm starting to have major doubts now whether this takeover will go through. And if it doesn't, where does that leave Everton? And more specifically, where does that leave Farhad Moshiri? More questions than answers to what I can give at this moment in time. But surely, if this takeover doesn't go through, it brings Moshiri back in some capacity. And, you know, it's got to. I mean, he does own the club. After all, okay, it's clear he's had enough. He wants to cut and run and salvage as much money from any deal as possible. But the longer he leaves Everton without any direction, the worse it gets. Not just us, not just for the fans, but for him as well. A club with no direction, up to their eyeballs in debt, it's obviously not a good saleable asset for anyone. He will surely have to come back with some involvement in some shape or form if this takeover doesn't go through. But I'm sure, no doubt, we'll get his latest update on TalkSport and Jim White, if anything is to transpire. Either way, there seems to be no time frame for a resolution, and it's really scary to think what could happen to the club if it's not sorted out soon. We will see what happens. But finishing off then, obviously this show's just like a little short show throughout the week, like a one-man show. So, you know, as I've said, keep listening, keep coming back, keep providing your feedback. I'll keep anything you want me to speak about during the shows, just let me know on Twitter. I'm always on Twitter, always active. So yeah, we'll see where we go with that. But I just wanted to finish off with this segment. As I mentioned earlier on, what has annoyed me this past week and what has put a smile on my face, as usual, there were plenty of things that annoyed me. I've spoken for about 15 minutes now about everything that has annoyed me about Everton. I could probably go on for another hour, but I don't want to subject you all to it. So what has annoyed me this week? Do you know what it was? It was the email sent out by the club to some fans as a promo to renew seats for next season, with the picture of the 3-2 Palace game being described as incredible. So yeah, that's what has annoyed me, and shows that we are still actually a little bit small time. But the one thing that did put a smile on my face then, well, this actually shows how small time I am, or we are. I'm not really sure how to phrase that, but the fact Bournemouth beat Luton last night, obviously in the grand scheme of things, we want our relegation rivals to drop points, but let's face it is small time saying that Luton get beat against Bournemouth. Either way, it did put a smile on my face, and funnily enough, I didn't follow any of the game last night. I only saw the result after the final whistle. I had no idea Luton was 3-0 up, and no idea Bournemouth had produced this mammoth comeback whatsoever. So fair play to Bournemouth there. Like, you would think that if Luton had come away 3-0 winners, or like winners of any kind, then the momentum is with them going into the next run of fixtures. But the fact they went, you know, 3-0 up with a mammoth effort like that, and then let it slip, it's got to be demoralising for them. Interestingly enough, Luton are up against Forest on Saturday, so I'm sure all Blues will be eagerly awaiting the outcome of that one at the weekend. I defo will be, while I enjoy an Everton free weekend out on the Isle early on Saturday afternoon. I'm not actually sure what I want from the game, like who I want to win. Tell you what, let me know on Twitter what you think. Who do you want to win out of Luton or Forest on Saturday? Let me know on Twitter at IanCrawl1. What's the best outcome? I'd probably say a draw is the best, isn't it? It keeps both teams at arm's length again. Like, stops the momentum still. You know, if one team was to win, you know, it obviously brings us closer to us. But yeah, we'll see. I think a draw will probably be the best outcome for us. And, you know, let's face it, after that, we'll have a game in hand on both. Just a shame that the game in hand is against Liverpool, innit? Never mind. Okay, then, there it is. That is your latest episode of The Evertonian on the Royal Blue podcast channel with me, Ian Kroll. As I mentioned, get in touch on Twitter. My handle is at IanCrawl1. Send in your feedback. Let me know your thoughts on all things Everton. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Royal Blue YouTube channel. Everett may have gone for a few weeks, but we haven't. We're still here, and we'll be bringing you plenty more live streams over the coming weeks, bringing you the latest Everett news coming out of Goodison Park. So that's it for today's show. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.